Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. No intros. You know all the stuff. Books coming out. Dollarman Health Club coming out. Second revision will be out at the end of the week. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. The one I did forget. Drink My Co-Tea. Go to drinkmycotea.com. Love that stuff. I talk about it all the time. I want to get straight to the podcast and straight to some questions. You know him. The Infamous is back on. My brother, my friend, Naudi Aguilar. What's happening, brother?
You're chilling, brother. How you doing, man? How's everything going with your life?
Oh, it's going all right, man. I was moving my ass slow today, man.
Breaking your head on writing that fucking book, right? Or editing the book?
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad I've edited this book, bro. I'm telling you. Holy shit. I even go through it and I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm reading, I'm like, did I just scroll there for like an entire chapter? And like I completely left field. So dude, the chapter 15 is completely gone. I took out what was in it was the healthy core routine. You know what? You appreciate this shit. And I had this healthy core routine of kind of giving minimals for people to establish in their life. And then I realized I was kind of enforcing my own social construct by what a healthy core routine consists of. And so I'm like, nah, that's subjective as shit. I can't enforce that. So I pulled out this design of a healthy core routine, turned it more to the individual as far as the daily routine to determine what that is based on their philosophy, not mine. So yeah. I had to rip that shit out. And not to mention, because of the education I've been getting at FP and from you and chatting, the exercise chapter that was in there has now been retitled to movement. And with the minimal FP knowledge that I have, I graced the pages also subtly and referenced you as well as
that's sick.
As something. And I thought I was pretty clever. I worked in the name of your company in a sentence, actually, that ends the chapter of movement. So,
yeah,
it's been a big change. I had to really dive into the nutrition chapter and rip that shit apart too, rip it into the movement section. I found my own biases pushed in social constructs and forcing my own beliefs, what I was telling people not to do. I'm like, you dumb fuck. I had to go back and pull all that shit out, man. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing, man. I've had my head just buried in the book, man.
But yeah, sorry, man. I'm over here at the gym, guys, and I'm over here. My staff is just asking me some questions and shit. Yeah, man, freaking no, that's awesome. I mean, I've looked back at my Power of Posture book. I've never read my book. I had some people edit it. I kind of skimmed over it, and it seemed to be coherent. I had a few people that I trusted read the book itself, but I haven't even read my own fucking book. But I have read certain aspects of it, and I look back on it going like, fuck. Okay, there's a lot of things that need to be updated. But the truth of the matter is, I'm kind of just leaving it be because I hate that shit more than anything. I'd rather be in the gym innovating things, and maybe in the future we may make some revisions on it too, man. But that's when you're really trying to be scientific, when you're really trying to be evolving, if you're not having to make revisions on your book, there's a problem there. There is a problem there. So, I mean, it's like what you made your revision maybe after, I don't even know how long, but
dude,
it tells you that, you know,
I put that
you're
book
trying,
out. Yeah. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You're right. I put that book out just in April last year. And here it is, not even fucking 9 months, dude. And I'm putting out a revision. I added three chapters to the end for theoretical expansion, cut shit out, retort apart. It's a must, man.
Absolutely. It's being responsible. And that's the whole thing. For me, I've tried to maintain my responsibility by putting out like the training humans and all that shit. But it's like it's a responsible thing to do at the end of the day, man. If you know that your subscribers or the people that are looking at your shit are seeing what you're seeing, it's important to like to continually update all that shit, man. So I definitely commend you on that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah, and don't read your own shit, man. It just pisses you off. Because if you're an artist, right, it's never good enough. It's never the last
That's
one.
That's the truth.
I fucking read the book and I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot. You know, sometimes I'm, you know, and it's just terrible. Yep. You know, I'm like, that's why I tell everybody, if you bought this damn book, email me so I can email you the free version of the second edition. There's no need for you to buy the second one. I'll just send you that shit free.
That's dope, dude. That's fucking super cool, man. Hell yeah. That's cool shit, Adam.
That's a dude. If somebody read past that and got to chapter 15, I'm sorry. I'm just apologizing now for chapter 15. As I read that, dude, I'm like,
yeah, bro. But at the end of the day, bro, even at the end of the day, even if it's subjective, what you say there, there's a lot of people that can gain because they may have, even if it was subjective, which I don't think it probably was going to be that subjective, but even if it was, there's still people that can gain from that subjective viewpoint. You have to realize that not. At the end of the day, all viewpoints are going to be somewhat subjective unless you're like you're putting a mechanical construct around that viewpoint. So it's like you could say everything is subjective until you put a relative set of variables around it. So if you say, okay, I respect the mechanical world, now there is an ability to become objective. Then if you're trying to create a mechanical construct to what you're saying, then yeah, there's objective viewpoints and there are subjective viewpoints. But at the end of the day, if you're really looking at the existential nature of what the fuck we're actually doing, it is all subjective at the end of the day. And I think gathering that perspective of another person who is even preaching to you or whatever, even if it comes off that way, isn't the worst thing in the world. You're just gathering, it's just more inferences, it's more opportunities to elevate your way of thinking by just taking in more perspectives on life. So I don't think it's bad, even if they did read to that point. I can't imagine it would be that bad, right?
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Don't get it twisted. I love the shit.
Exactly.
And I love my work, man. I put that shit out there. That's my life's work. But like we said, an artist's work is never done. And just like you, a scientist's Absolutely. Work is never done. I mean, that speaks almost to what you do is you're really trying to find this mechanical application to it, to the body's process, not a theoretical application to the biomechanics of the body's process.
Exactly, bro. It's like really the way that I've gone about, even with my own craft, it relates to doing things, seeing the phenomenon, of either seeing phenomenon of change or seeing nothing change and then having to adjust to make a change happen. And that's pretty much what it has spawned, functional patterns to do what it has. And really what I've seen out of most of the industry is that it seems like opinions keep evolving in training, but nothing changes. So it's almost like you have a philosophy of science and you have actual science, which is pretty much what I'm doing. I think a lot of people in the industry, the fitness industry, rehab industry, they use the word science, but they have no idea what the fuck that even entails. And when you really look at it, Adam, I mean, when you think of any scientific revolution, when was that ever really, when did any scientific revolution happen with a group of people? It's usually just one person that starts that shit, whether that's Einstein, whether that's fucking Newton, it always works that way. So even
well, there's
when you
usually
look at
this invention, there's usually this spawn of an invention, right? The
exactly.
I mean, the printing press, for one, if you go way back, which revolutionized religion, you know, I mean, it usually mm-hmm. starts with some invention of some kind by a person or maybe a brothers, even right. The Wright brothers, a group of people,
yep.
you know, that may start
yep.
or invent something. That's funny. That's
yep.
true.
It's a tiny group of people that usually brings about some kind of a revolution. It's never through a journal of scientists. So like people now what's funny, Adam, is that maybe even just about a year, 2 years ago, everybody was like, now, do you have any works published in the journal of the strength and conditioning journals? And I'm like, no, it's bullshit. And what's funny is the other day I had a guy on Instagram who commented, is like, do you have anything published on the strength and conditioning journals? I was like, do you really take those what they have to say in those journals seriously? Are you kidding me? And the guy puts like, no, actually not. I was just wondering if you did. But yeah, I if you don't, it's almost a benefit to me because at least I know you're not full of shit. So the Journal of Strength and Conditioning now is pretty much being seen as a joke, which is what it deserves to be seen as, bro. And so it's like it's funny how things are changing and how people are beginning to understand that scientific innovation doesn't happen by a panel of dogmatic people that are just regurgitating information from the past. Scientific innovation happens in small laboratories in places where the influence of modern culture is not getting in the way of progress.
Well, I mean, where did Microsoft come from, right? Facebook.
I don't even
you know what I mean?
There you go.
You're talking garages. Exactly. You're talking backyards,
exactly.
man.
There you go. So that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest, man. And so it's like when I can't help but think and look at what's kind of the approach that people are taking in the field of training and in the field of training and just in science in general. Even if you look at people that research like fascial lines, fascial tensegrity, and all this, there are so many theories out there and so many debates that people have before. I mean, I've seen people get into fucking heated debates where they start yelling at each other, or like I've heard of even sort of stories of major figures where they start screaming at students because, you know, they're arguing about something. But the best argument that I always give, Adam,
yeah.
is that when I work with people, I change them. And so when somebody wants to have a debate with me, all I'm like, okay, you see those results right there? Can you produce the same thing? No? Okay, then shut the fuck up. You have no, your opinion is useless here. Because unless you can do the same thing that I do, that it's irrelevant. I remember I watched an interview with Dr. Dre a few years back, and he was talking about how so many people judged him for what he did and all that. And this is where I got it from him. It's like, look, until you can do the same thing that I can do, you guys are all just a bunch of haters. Nothing you say carries any relevance because you can't do what I can do. So until you're on my level, you can't even open your fucking mouth. And if you were on my level, you wouldn't open your mouth because all you would be doing is just recognizing the dope ass shit that I make. And it's so I see
that's Dr. kind of Jack, that's, hey, Dr. Jack Cruz did that to me, bro. He came on my podcast and he's like, hey, man, look, otherwise you just think what I'm saying is cool. You got to get on my level. I'm not coming down there. And
exactly,
you know, and I had to eat it because he's fucking right. You know, I don't have the knowledge he did. So I had to be like, well, you're fucking right. All right, I'm listening.
I think all things are debatable, bro. And I understand that EMFs and fucking light waves and all that, they carry an influence on things. I don't run under that spectrum. And although it has been helping me, I still tend to think that you're emotional. As much as I was thinking about this last night, because I have my tablet and I do heart rate variability before I go to sleep. And what I find is fascinating is that, you know, iPads don't really have the capacity to shut off blue light. From what I know, there's not any blue light filters for iPads. And so I'm having all kinds of blue light just emitting at me before I go to sleep. But I'm focusing on my breathing. I'm calming my nerves. I'm kind of like I'm tuning in and relaxing. And I slept like a baby. So I had all this blue light being emitted at me for about 15 to 20 minutes right before I'm going to sleep. I put the iPad down. I knock out. I didn't even remember what I even dreamt about, which for me indicates that I'm getting really good sleep. And I wake up in the morning and I feel like a million bucks. I feel really good. My body feels like it repaired really nicely. And I was getting blue light emitted on me on a regular basis. So from what I find, even with most research in general, what it comes down to is, what are the results that you can produce? Sure, we can sit here and theorize about blue light, nutrition, all this shit. But until you actually have results to substantiate your claims, what do you really have? You're still playing around with theory. And at the end of the day, it's like, if it's theory that's not based upon real practical application, you're not really getting much out of it. So for me, like looking at a, even when other people do take that route, I'm kind of like thinking, well, what the fuck have you really done? What have you really done to merit that title? I think in my perception, I've merited enough because I have thousands of people doing functional patterns now, raving, hooting and hollering about the benefits they're seeing from functional patterns on a really daily basis. And they can actually physically see it in the mirror. They can physically feel it when they run in terms of their knees not hurting, in terms of their body not aching after they do a run or they do play a sport. I think these are all things that need to be at the bedrock of your opinions. That needs to be at the bedrock of your opinions that they're tested. And again, it's not to say that you don't have to test everything yourself. If you do research on behavior and you research like Buckman or B.F. Skinner or people like that, people similar, you're going to get relevant research because these people conducted their science on real testing. But most of the shit that you see around is not really the testing that's being conducted. I don't really, especially in the fitness rehab field, in terms of health and wellness, I don't see the testing as being even remotely adequate to what's actually going on in real life.
Well, that's what you text me when I asked you, you know, what do you want to focus on today? And you text me back about how do you follow up? How do you substantiate? You know, how are you following through on the claims? And that's kind of what you're pointing toward.
Yes. Well, this is really what... This is the fundamental issue with functional patterns. If I tell most people in this neighborhood where I'm living at that we do functional movement, they'll be like, well, I got a trainer that does functional movement. I do CrossFit and they cover functional movement. My yoga practitioner says that yoga is functional. My chiro says that if I do chiro, that's going to improve my functional movement, so I don't need to work on functional movement. Although most chiros are starting to understand that you need to do functional movement. But the problem is that functional movement has become so broad that, you know, we at Functional Patterns get grouped with all the dumb shits that are in the industry that can't follow through on their claims. Functional Patterns is the only system in the history of training that has actually really followed through on its claims on a regular basis. Where if we get people, they say, you know, I tried this and it worked. We get more of that in terms of high percentages than anyone else in the field of fitness, than anyone. And very few people are able to even see that or understand that. So this is a dilemma right now, Adam. if let's say if somebody says, you know what, I want to train and I have pain, my lower back hurts. Guess what their first option is going to be, Adam? What are their list of options that they have?
Well, the first thing is going to be physical therapy, yoga,
okay,
stretching.
Okay, stop there. So physical therapy. First they're going to go to a doctor. Then the doctor's going to send them to the – so the first option is a doctor. And the doctor's either going to prescribe anti-inflammatories or they'll prescribe anti-inflammatories or some kind of a pain med along with physical therapy. Then let's say they go to physical therapy. And let's say this person wants to be able to run and move again, right? Which is isn't that what you want to do as you get older, Adam? Or do you want to just find yourself sitting and not doing anything the rest of your fucking life?
Yeah, definitely don't want to be the WALL-E people. Definitely want to be moving.
Do you want to be old?
Yeah, well, not old. I'm gonna get old accordingly.
You want to be wise, but you don't want to be old.
That's right. I want to move. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be sitting in some chair. I don't want to be knees buckling underneath me as I'm trying to, you know, give me a glass of prune juice or some shit.
Okay, so let's say that's the case. Now, let's say you go to physical therapy and it doesn't work. Let's say you want to move, you want to be able to run, go for hikes and whatnot, and you go right back to being in pain. Then what's your option after that, Adam?
Knives. You're cutting me open, okay. Right?
You're going to get you get surgery. After surgery, what do you then do?
Drugs and addicted to opiates generally.
No, that's under worst case scenario. Let's give them the best case scenario. They get on pain meds temporarily, then they get off of them.
Right. So I've got that done. I've tried surgery. I've tried physical therapy.
But after the surgery, you probably go back to physical therapy, right?
Yeah, of course, right after. Yeah.
And then after you repeat the cycle of going back to physical therapy, finding out that the pain is not gone, and then you go right back to the doctor, get a knife procedure again. At that point, you're going to say, well, does any of this shit work? Then where do you go?
Man, I would have tried stem cell before all that shit, but before I'm getting stuck.
What if you do stem cells and that shit doesn't? What if you do platelet-rich plasma and that shit doesn't work?
Oh, I'm calling Naughty, bro.
No, that's what you would do. Well, what would a general population, what would a person in the general?
A chiropractor? What are their options? Chiropractor? I mean.
Chiropractor. What if that doesn't work?
Acupuncture?
What's next on the list? Acupuncture is next on the list. What's another thing?
Let's see. We're dealing with the physical body pain, right? Chronic pain kind of thing.
So yoga? Yoga is another one?
Right. Stretching. Pilates? Yoga, Pilates, meditation.
Exercising of all types, right?
Yeah.
All these are the options that people have right now. This is what they have to choose from. With regard to the alternatives that exist, alternatives to systems that don't work. And the truth is that yoga, Pilates, all these other systems, they don't work. And if they do work, it's only for a limit. As long as you're doing yoga and you never walk ever again in your life, you'll be fine doing yoga. As long as you never have to walk or run or do anything strenuous with your body, you can do yoga all you want, kind of. I mean, who knows? As long as you never walk, maybe if you sit down in a chair and then have it move you around or whatever, you could probably do yoga and be fine for a while. But if you're trying to mix yoga with movement, it's not going to work. So the problem right now is this, Adam, is that the first option, people make the assumption, well, you know what? I have this lower back problem. And somebody says, you know what? I got some temporary benefit from doing yoga, even though I need a hip replacement, but my lower back doesn't hurt anymore. One thing that's funny, I saw the Joe Rogan Experience, and Joe Rogan's hooting and hollering about yoga right now. And what I think is funny about it is that in another podcast where he's talking to Dan Bilzerian, somebody sent me they were like, watch this part of this clip. And he starts talking about, you know, I got this thing in my hip. And, you know, I'm like thinking, is this going to be a problem later on? And he's thinking that yoga has no correlation to that hip getting looser and looser and looser. So yoga is the most damaging things that yoga does is attack the pelvis and it attacks the shoulder joint. Those are the two points that end up getting the most damage doing yoga because your lumbar doesn't take that much impact because there's no load on your body. But the danger is that you're going to make your hips and your shoulders completely hypermobile. So the problem comes down to this is that Joe Rogan thinks he's giving himself an advantage by doing yoga, but he doesn't realize he's making his hips even more hypermobile than what he already had when he was doing Taekwondo because doing the splits is not functional. There is no correlation to there being a functionality. You're creating hypermobility. You're switching off your adductors. It's not a good position to be into. So people then say, okay, you know what? I got a temporary benefit on my lower back doing yoga. So now what am I – but I need a hip replacement. But you should still try yoga. So they say, okay, go give this a shot. They go do that. They get temporary benefits for about maybe about a year or two, and then they end up having other problems pop up. But they always reflect back on the original benefit that they had. They're like, you know what? When I first did yoga, you know, it actually it helped me a lot. So now what I'm going to do is continue to keep doing yoga in hopes that it's going to solve this next problem. But it can't. Since the tensions just shift, eventually the yoga stops working. And that's what happens to most people. After about 2-3 years, they begin to realize, oh, I think this system doesn't work. And what I'm trying to do by telling people about things like yoga, or when I tell them about the other systems that exist that are claiming to do the same, is you're wasting your time. If you want to go do all these other forms of alternative treatment, they're not going to work until you get your structure on point. And even beyond that, if you want to do yoga, it's completely irrelevant. It's arbitrary. Those types of things aren't even going to fix you. The point I try and make to people is, look, if you're trying to really better yourself, if you're trying to really, if you're really trying to change something, you have to quit doing all the, you have to think in a way that hasn't been thought of before. And hypermobility training has already been done before. Physical therapists are already doing the stretching. You need to take an entirely new approach to what's going on. And the simple truth is, none of this works. So my biggest dilemma with functional pattern is telling people, if you go try the hypermobility in yoga, you might feel better temporarily. If you try the Pilates, you might feel better temporarily, until the remainders on the equation that are present in Olympic lifting, in CrossFit, until the remainders are felt. And they're going to be felt at one point or the other. Your denial and your delusion can only block those things out so long before your body intelligently says, dude, I can't deal with this anymore. So you can be an idiot all you want up here, but your body eventually is going to be smart enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to allow you to move anymore. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the pain that you're inducing upon me.
I'm conscious beliefs of experience. So it's why you get so much hatred, man, when you point out things like yoga, people, you're automatically pointing out concrete beliefs of past experiences that are rooted in beliefs of happiness and rewards. Boom. So the minute you say something against what they've experienced to be different, well, you're going to get, what you get is what? Offensive.
Backlash.
It's offensive. Or defensive from people. Yep, and the absolutely. Offensive comes is when you touch on something that they go, look, it changed my life. It changed my lower back. It did this. When you touch on that, that's that personal experience of, but here's where people can't grasp. They're rats in mazes that we have been exploring the idea of consciousness since Freud's discovery of it and found nothing. We have gone further than nothing. We are stuck in this idea of awareness and nothing beyond it, and much less being able to prove that the consciousness is useful to a point. And so to even question ourselves that what we're doing is simply repeating the route to the cheese because it worked before. Where people do that in my field is they do that mentally, to where they will do something as a child or in a relationship that got good results. I call it an early life victory. You experience something, you get an early life victory. Then I use the same tools later in life when shit like that happens again, thinking, well, if it worked back then, it must work now. And then I keep applying that same psychological tool, that same emotion, that same reaction, because damn, it worked in that trauma period. So why isn't it working 25 years later? And we force it and force it and force it. And that's stuck to, because at one point, generally a traumatic time in our life, it saved us. And it reached us and created an experience to us that it helped me survive that abusive childhood. So now I have to then respond this way forever because it'll solve this little problem. I've experienced it. It solved my big problems. Why wouldn't it solve this one? I can't let that go because I've ran that maze for so long and I know there's cheese, goddamn it, right there. And I can't admit that I'm just repeating behavioral patterns based on a past experience that once gave me a reward.
Wow, that's so legit, dude. Like, that's the way that you just broke that off is super legit. That's exactly the way that I view it. That's a way better way of describing it than I could ever fucking describe. But that's I mean, you hit the nail on the head, that because you've seen a slight bit of success with what you've done, you attribute that that you solved the math problem. It's way more complicated than you guys think it is. In terms of training, it's much more complex. If you think that an ape swinging from a tree to then learn to balance on 2 feet and then start running was a simple process of evolution, you are fucking crazy.
Well, dude, watch an infant learn to walk. Bro, they go through it. They go through it, dog. They're bumping their heads on counters and corners. They know what perseverance is before they even know what it is.
And bro, that's a part of their genetics. I mean, that's part of what they are. That's in their genes to be able to walk. It's not like it's like, okay, you know, a horse learns how to walk its first day. Like, they understand this genetically. Even as human beings, we genetically understand this, but to be bipedal is really complicated. It's very, very complex, and it's completely overlooked in the field of training. And the people that are kind of trying to approach it, right now we are becoming fast the most copied system out there.
Yes.
Prior to even a year ago, nobody was grabbing a dumbbell and swinging it around. Nobody was really swinging clubs in the way that we are swinging them now in terms of three-dimensional perspectives. Nobody was doing cable pushes.
You guys are getting diluted by what I hear and everybody references as natural movement. This is what I hear. When I say functional patterns somebody usually goes, oh, you're talking about the natural movement people. And I'm like, oh, shit. No.
Well, but it's not even just that. I get coupled with everybody, bro. It's like, oh, you know what? We do myofascial releases, dude. Oh, we do that. And you're just like, it's like this, Adam. This is the way, I don't think I've already said this in prior podcasts, but I'll say it again just to reiterate the point. It's because you've done jiu-jitsu for 2 days or 3 days, does it equivocate to you understanding the same as a black belt in jiu-jitsu?
God, no.
Of course not. So you can't say that you know what I'm doing because you understood the basic concepts of what I do, the basic constructs of what I'm putting forth. You can't make that claim. You can make that claim, but you can't expect me to respect your position, because where you're coming from is completely – it's false. You can't just step into the territory of functional patterns, which is a tested system, and just assume that you have it figured out. The other day, there's a guy named Vinny Rehab on, and you probably already saw this on the Functional Patterns Doer page. This guy Vinny Rehab is putting some before and afters that are just atrocious. And you know what the unfortunate part of all this is, Adam? About in August, it was around August or September, and I screenshotted this because they're bound. I'm surprised they haven't deleted this post quite yet. But we have this thing called a standing neutral position that I pretty much coined in The Power of Posture. I'm pretty much the first person that's really ever consciously made a real effort towards learning how to stand correctly and proficiently to brace the body for movement. This is the first time it's ever worked, and now it's being copied like crazy. Well, this company, what they've managed to do is be sensitive to all the bodybuilder idiots out there. They cater to their ego, and then they still also want to sell structural integrity, which I myself can't agree with. I can't agree with that mentality. I'm not going to let people needlessly hurt themselves if they're not being paid in some kind of athletic endeavor or something. If you're being paid and you want to hurt yourself, and part of you being in the activity is you hurting yourself, then that's one thing. But if you're just a weightlifting meathead in the gym, and you're not getting paid to hurt yourself, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I can't respect that, and I can't accept that. Anyway, these people end up taking a before and after of straight, full-on standing neutral position. You can see intra-abdominal pressure. You can see a transverse abdominis engagement. You can see all these things present here. And you can't do this through myofascial release, Adam, because I know this, because I do myofascial release better than any of these guys. I'm pretty good with my hands.
Can I ask something? I'm going to ask something, bro. I refer a lot of times to the visuals you present on these podcasts that are they're fucking simple. You got a lot of people around over there. Can you run over what you're explaining with two of your people there and just maybe stand somebody in the position they're selling?
Hey, Bruno. And
you see?
Can you stand right there real quick? Let me see. Okay, can you see Bruno right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Bruno, what I want you to do, take your shirt off. We're gonna make this real good for you guys.
Bow, bow, bow.
Okay, now round kyphotically, Bruno. Okay, let's say, now bring your head up. Let's say we have a person that stands like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I say, okay, Bruno, now let's. Okay, I'm gonna put this aside so you guys can see it.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. So now I'm gonna tell Bruno, okay, posture up, Bruno. Okay. Now posture up a little less there, Bruno. Okay? Now shift your pelvis anteriorly. Okay? So now open your ribs. Okay? So at that point, you might think this guy has better posture. Look, he stood upright. But if I tell Bruno to hold that same posture, then do a side profile for me now, Bruno. Now we're dealing with the hyperlordosis here. So yeah, he managed to do a scapular retraction. He managed to puff his chest up. But now look at this. He's got a hyperlordosis. You guys can see this right here. There's a hyperlordosis here. We have a thoracic hyperextension. We have all sorts of other problems here. So in order to make sure that this doesn't become a problem, what I've had to do is then say, okay, Bruno, at the same time, go back into your kyphosis. At the same time you go into that thoracic extension, I need you to retract your abdomen and open your rib cage. Okay? And don't shift your pelvis forward. Shift your pelvis back a slight bit. Now retract your mid-abdomen a little bit further, slight posterior pelvic tilt. So now you can actually see that he's, now give me an anterior view of where you're at. The posture changed from that dimension. Now turn around, face the other direction, Bruno. Give me a back view, back view. And you can see the changes happening on the backside too. So the key point is, I could even tell, okay, Bruno, round your shoulders, round your thoracic. Okay, now posture up. Posture up in the way that people posture up. Hyperextend, retract your over, retract your shoulder blades. And you might think, no, don't go too far. You might think this guy's fairly straight here. But then if he gives me a lateral profile again, he once again went back into the hyperextension. And that's the issue that's going on with people when they do the training. Okay, thanks, Bruno.
Holy,
that's just like a basic, a very basic way of going about it. So when I approach the standing neutral position, I accounted for the fact that there's like 20, 30 variables you need to address. I only accounted a few of them. There's still a few other things that we need to dial in with in terms of what he's doing. But I just gave you guys like a basic.
Yeah, that was on the spot. Assessment. Yeah, that was fucking on the spot.
Yeah. So this is something that happens all the time, and I've tested this, and the damage, what sucks about all this, Adam, is that when people want to acknowledge you and then acknowledge the body of work, after they told me I was crazy for doing that, whether it was Brett Contreras or anybody else, are saying that posture is wrong, when I'm like, no, I've tested that posture dynamically, and people's lumbar spines are able to rotate, people's knees function better, their hips function better. I've tested this thing, and I know it works, but I was called fucking crazy. Then enough people test it. People start getting results, and then the people that criticize me or said, I already know what Naughty knows, then start using it, and they start putting posts on Instagram saying, like, look at the results that I'm getting. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. Like, I was called crazy for doing that before, and now that it's popular, you're just going to go on and go ahead and take that. And what I essentially do is like, no, let's make sure that you acknowledge the person that they called crazy first, because if you don't acknowledge me, I go broke. You take that information, run with it, and then you start your own freaking little company, your own little empire, and then I end up going broke with my business after I was the one that dealt with all the traumas, all the stressors of having to deal with naysayers, spending thousands of hours.
It kills them. It kills so many, man. There are so many academic researchers that don't have the gift of gab like Tony Robbins. And, you know, I have my friend Orlando Perez on the podcast a little bit ago. He actually worked within the Tony Robbins group. He was in the inner circle, and he watched how all this happens. He named on the podcast the three or four researchers that he stole from to create these programs that he was making, and never once gave them love. And so these people that aren't animated or don't have millions of followers, they didn't do the Tybo commercials back in the day.
People that stick to their principles and don't want to incorporate a bunch of corny bullshit within it. Probably they're just like, let's just stay scientific, take all the glamour away from everything, and let's just be objective.
Yeah, I got two words that are bothering me a lot lately, and this is spiritual and scientific. They tend to like blend into the same shit. You know what I mean? To where if you start talking a little bit scientific, you know, you're mansplaining and you're getting all fucking, you know, edgy. Well, you kind of sound weird, and then you start talking religion and you sound the same. It's to where you're kind of like, you know what I mean? Science and spiritual. I say religion, but science, spiritual. What does that mean? It becomes so vague of what applied science is. I mean, did you use the scientific method? Are you testing and retesting, or did you do a test with 10 people? Seven of them showed a little bit of light weight loss, and you put out that it's 70% effective for weight loss. You know what I mean? So what's really happening? Now I get what you mean when you say white belt, black belt, to where somebody said, no, we tested Naughty's posture, you know, theory for like a month or two on some people, and we got nothing. And for 10 years and change, you're doing this. And they're trying to walk into the jiu-jitsu ring going, no, no, no. Look, I've been taking jiu-jitsu 2 weeks. All right. That's not how you do it. Umaplata. Okay. You know what I mean? And it's yeah, I get that shit. But man, yeah. The fucking ego's in it. It's got to make that so hard for you, man.
Like, what it comes down to, bro, is that you have people in this world that want an easy way into doing everything. So instead of them saying, so let me put it this way. If these Vinny, if these rehab guys, they call mild detox, if they decided to just say, okay, we're going to cite functional patterns as a source, and they send every one of their followers to functional patterns, why would they go back to mild detox?
No reason to.
They wouldn't. But this is what's most infuriating about it, Adam. They put this before and after, and they don't cite where they got it from. They said that they learned it from their own thing. The guy that actually put the post up, I can show you screenshots of him buying three of my products. He bought the Power of Posture, and he bought the Human Foundations set together. And then he also bought my Training for Humans workout system. he bought all of those, and then he showed the before and afters, and then he didn't cite the sources. They said at that point that they never got anything from me, even though he bought the things. But since that point, they never posted a before and after with those types of results ever again. They never posted it like that ever again since that point. You can scroll through these people's timelines, and you can see exactly what the fuck that is. It's complete fuckery.
It trips me out, too.
It's plagiarism.
If you go to all of these, well, I say all, a lot of personal trainers' website, you see the first line, I care about my clients. I care about your health and fitness. And now I've heard you argue that before, too. And it still baffles me, brother, on how people that are specialists that have maybe chose something like yoga or CrossFit and made it their focus, made it their specialty, and have almost given up on evolving. It's not to say that, okay, it was this, we've learned this, you know, keep moving. Like I pull my book, fucking 9 months, I'm pulling my book and tearing it apart. There's researchers, you tear your own shit apart. And so what I'm, you know, what I don't see is the guy who invented the one thing a year ago or this, or became a master in this, kind of going, well, shit, now that I'm, you know, we're evolving, I don't see evolution, but yet the first line on the profile is we care about our clients first. We take care of them better, but I don't want to afford any more money to get better educated. I want to question my own licensure I've had for 10 years. I don't want to question any of that shit because I'm already established. I got kids. I got bills. I can't. I'd much rather just put my white belt on, walk onto the Facebook, the doers page or on YouTube and be like, now you're a fucking egotistical maniac.
Oh my God. That's easy. Adam, it's like therapy getting to hear you fucking talk about some of this shit, dude. It's like you are my rehabilitation right now, bro. But that's primarily what it is. You get when people, if you say that you care about your customers, it doesn't matter if you care, guys. It's irrelevant if you care. If I wanted you to build my house and you have no idea how to build my house, no matter how well intentioned you are to help me build my damn house, I'm not going to have anywhere to live.
You fucking got me there, man. I used to say and I had to change my philosophy from it because I used to say that intentions are the most important part of communication. And then you tried me on it and you were like, no, if the guy wants to build my house and he has good intentions, but he's a plumber, I'm fucked. And I'm kind of like, yeah, that's a good point. So I went deeper into it. And now what I preach, if you will, is the most important is vulnerability and humility. Being able to be vulnerable in front of someone and humble enough to be wrong so we both can learn.
Absolutely. And that's definitely the root of it all, is the fact that we can show that humility to say, okay, I'm wrong. And I, no matter what the cost is, I need to make an adjustment.
What's something you've been wrong at? What's something you started with 10 years ago, 5 years ago, where you thought for sure, and then you're like, fuck, I was fucked up.
Okay, I'm gonna do myofascial release, and that's gonna through reciprocal. So if I release my quadriceps, automatically my glutes are gonna fire better once I release my quadriceps.
That was something you're sure.
Like, so let's say, I can't say I was sure of it, but it's something that I believed, and I put a belief behind it, and I believed that that was the case. You know, okay, that if I release my quadriceps, that my hamstrings are going to work better through reciprocal inhibition. Then you test it, and then you're like, yeah, that's not the case at all. And you're like, shit, okay, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. So it's like, that. I can't say that was a concrete belief, but Adam, I don't ever have concrete beliefs.
Bam.
I'm nothing is concrete. I don't even know why I'm here. So what can I say is concrete? So it's like to say that anything's concrete. So I never, the reason, Adam, that I evolve and I keep figuring all this shit out is because nothing I ever say is concrete. You want to know the first thing I tell people when I do my courses? You want to know what do you think the first thing is that I tell people in my courses, Adam?
What's that, man?
Take everything I tell you very lightly, because in about a year or two, everything I told you is going to be wrong right now. Everything that I told you, because I'm going to discover things that are going to tell me, wow, you were way the fuck off the mark now. Or maybe you were onto the right track, but you were missing about 1,000 variables in order to complete what you wanted to do. So that's there's many things, but I'm never fully opposed to any concept, bro. Realistically, here's a concrete belief that I have, that Olympic lifting is going to somehow transfer to human beings moving better. That is a concrete belief. Because it resides in testing. I've seen what it does, and it doesn't
meaning
help.
Meaning it doesn't. You're saying
exactly. It's been tested, I've seen what it does to people, and based upon my experiential knowledge, I can't say that any of that shit even works. I look at yoga, and I can't look at yoga or say CrossFit or any of these things even work, because I see it and I'm like, okay, am I going to say, well, you know what, that's just my experience with it? I'm like, well, that can't just be my experience. How could a coach, if you're lifting a bar up, how does that translate to, how does it translate to this?
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, that doesn't trans, it partially translates. At the point that this touches the ground, then yes, you have to spring up slightly, and you're going to jump maybe. So yeah, maybe your longitudinal force is going to be present. But before you do the longitudinal force, guess what you have to do? Horizontal. Before you can do anything this way, you have to develop kinetic energy this way. That's just the way it works. That's the way the ball bounces. So, yeah, go ahead.
I remembered something. I had this. Yeah, this is where I run into this logical wall, right? To where I hit it, and please tear this wall down if necessary. So we were referencing Rogan earlier about doing yoga, and we also know he lifts weights like crazy. And myself used to do that. I was one of the ones that pride myself on being able to lift a shitload of weight, being strong, and I was always flexible. Like, I'm butterfly head on the ground type shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so my thought is, you know, the way you explain the yoga, the stretching with the kettlebell and the rubber bands, holy shit, dude, that fucking so makes sense. And the same with the way we lift weights, the Olympic style, making the body tight, is doing both opposite, because I can see where somebody would say, I do both, so I'm stronger. So not only do I stretch my muscles with yoga all the time, I also lift weights and strengthen them and tighten them and pull them back in here. So I'm an athlete, so I'm constantly being able to move this here, so I do both.
Okay, so if you do that, what's your basis of measurement to say that you're strong?
Oh,
who are you basing this off?
Okay, I at the time, if that's what I was doing, I'd base it off how much I lifted. Yeah, the weight I'm doing, or how many times I was doing the weight.
You're basing it off of other people. You're basing it. So I believe the life expectancy just dropped to 74 years old. From what I read the other day, it dropped down to 74 years old. It's getting lower. The thing is, Adam, I don't believe that human beings are supposed to be, I don't believe it's supposed to be that, okay, you're a kid until you're 10 years old, then you can kind of run around and move around a little bit. You hit your teens, then you can run pretty fast. You're in your 20s, you can move pretty damn well. And then you hit your 30s, you start getting injured. Your 40s, now you're starting to get old. Your 50s, now, okay, your body's deteriorating, and now you're, from that point on, it's completely downhill. I'm questioning, how long should it really take for a person to age? How long should the breakdown of a person's body take? I don't think people are supposed to age as rapidly as they are. So when you say, oh, you know what, I feel strong, what are you comparing that strength to? Who are you comparing that strength to? I can't say I'm comparing any strength to any of this. I can't say I'm comparing my strength or my movement to anybody, because I'm trying to do things that nobody's ever done with their body.
My personal best of, you know, I want to bench 345. You know, I think that's something where I was a few times once. You know, for me, it was my personal number. It was rep this out twice or three times, you know?
Yeah, but what are you going to get out of that? What's your objective?
A goddamn ego boost, motherfucker. I'm going to go home and flex my ball sack in the mirror and be like, aren't I a man?
Cool. If you want to play touch butt, then go do it. I don't give a shit.
My
perception is, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sit there and act like you're an alpha, then by all means, go behave like you're a fucking alpha male. I don't care. I'm just speaking to people. Like, if you want to talk about right and wrong under a mechanical world, again, my relative
Hold on before you go off. I think you escaped over a real good point that you were making. I wanted to, that answered the question. Absolutely. I think, is the wear and tear of a body, is we already know for MMA fighters not to spar fully a lot, right? Not to get your head beat in.
And, now they know that.
Right.
Now they know that.
Now, Adam, NFL players.
I was in MMA camps where they were going full on sparring twice a week. I'm talking concussive blows.
Some do,
twice,
bro,
a week.
Some still do, you know, but we know, some know this, right? The smart ones. The NFL now has cut to no tackle practices, where it's shoulder pads and shorts most of the week. So they're wear and tearing less and less as they can on the body. So really what you're saying is by doing the yoga and the weights, you're double timing the wear and tear of the body.
Pretty much. Adam.
Jesus Christ.
Adam, you tell, if you actually look at, so myofascial force transfer is, so we don't, give me 2 seconds. I just got to sign a paper or do some shit.
That's something that, yeah, I'm going to talk while you're doing that. But with everyone listening, man, something to think about, though, right? Because let's assume our body, right, has X amount of bends, squats, curls, or something, right? Our bicep, our hip, we can all move a certain way, right? We're all built like a Toyota, Nissan, Ford, or such Chevy or some shit, right? We have a life expectancy of miles. And so think about it. If, right, we need to use our body enough to keep it functioning, but what is overuse of the body and giving the miles we're allowed to put on our body, right? So for me, I thought presenting that question of both seem rational, right? I stretch it, I elongate it, and then I strengthen it and get it together, then I feed it muscles and protein. But then again, when you look at wear and tear over your years or the miles you can put on your body, that line between moving to keeping it healthy and over moving it to where you're destroying it. I mean, look at runners, right? We all know long-term marathon runners have brittle knees and bones. I mean, I had a friend that I knew who ran his whole life, and he was, he was known for running fucking marathon after marathon. And all he's doing one day is jogging. He trips over a palm tree and he shatters his femur. So all the years of the running of that, it just made his bones brittle. So, you know, that long term. So for me, as logically, when I even looked at it at myself, I said, well, what's wrong with doing both, right? Well, yoga, stretch it, breathe it, and strengthen it. But then you go, oh, wait. I don't know how many miles my body really has, so let me just keep running highway miles on it on both ends. And that's what I was talking about while you were chatting.
Absolutely. There. No. What you're saying is, which it pretty much feeds into what I was just talking about, and you just reminded me what I was talking about. Look, Adam, if I do this with my right shoulder, you see how I'm doing this? My left leg should have a fascial continuity that says, okay, I'm going to do this, right? I have the capacity to do that with one another. Through a muscular tension. Not only does that need to happen, but at some point there needs to be a trauma induced on the entire structure, and they all need to be connected into one tension. And it needs to be done very slowly if you really want that to happen. Now, when you look at the way that yoga does things and the way that bodybuilding does things, there's no way of correlating these things, two things to happen, because they're still isolating specific spots. Yoga's not activating anything. And then when you think about Olympic lifting or power lifting or bodybuilding, they're not integrating. They're still looking at isolated continuity. So let's say if I do a pec fly on my left arm to support the tension of this right arm, I could do my pec fly like this, and then not engage my pecs at all. It'd only be my deltoids. There's so many. Like, I had a client the other day. I trained him this morning, and then I trained him. I think it was last Thursday we had trained, and I had him doing. We were doing a version of a chest fly, but it's a very. It's extremely different than any chest fly that you would see. But I had him doing a variation of a chest fly, and he was like, "Holy shit!" Like, we did half a repetition. Him just holding the position, his pecs started lighting on fire. He's like, "What the fuck?" And this guy isn't typically the kind of guy that shows a lot of emotion. He's just kind of like one of those dudes. But even this brought out an emotion where he was like, holy shit. Like, I can't believe that I feel that much fatigue out of that. He's like, I used to do bench presses all the time, and all I ever felt in my bench press was my shoulders and maybe a little bit of triceps. But I never, ever felt my pecs work like that. I used to do pec flies. I never felt anything like that. Why doesn't he feel that connectivity when he does those lifts, Adam? What's the reason for it?
Don't know.
Because his palm does not connect with his forearm does not connect with his bicep does not connect with his deltoid does not connect with his pec. It's one line, and that line transitions all the way to the other side of the body. So unless the tension on your left palm can match the tension on your right palm, you're not going to get a fatigue on your pecs. This is what great athletes do.
Dude, you bring up a story, bro. I was hanging out at this sports bar, and that'll go unnamed. And I wasn't watching sports. I was actually watching people sing karaoke. It was hilarious. But anyway, there was a table of three older gentlemen. They were, I'd say in their 60s. And fairly lean-looking guys. Didn't look like athletes, per se. And next to them was a group of, well, they were, I knew they had just got off a certain job next to, they were some big boys, right? There were some big lifting dudes, and you know, the punching machine that, yeah, you know, every ego drunk maniac has to pay attention to.
We're just watching a bunch of slop pretty much.
Yeah. So the big guys are smashing the thing and then smashing a beer and then smashing the thing and smashing the beer. I don't want to be stereotypical, but I'm sorry. It's what it looks like. You know?
Of course.
And the guys next to him are pretty nice. And anyway, this old dude, I'd say he's older. I'd say late 60s. He kind of steps up and he tries to explain to them that they're not getting a full rotation. And the guy starts to answer, man, I played baseball for years. I know how to come from the hip and swing, right? I did it on the other guy. I boxed for all this time, et cetera. And then the guy lets all three of them hit. And then the old dude, real nice, like, is like, can I go? And he was like, well, sure, go ahead. Fucking beat him by like 200 points, bro.
Oh my God, just, dude, that's hilarious.
But he spins, and well, he tripped me out because he starts to explain that the body is two rubber bands crossed like this. And he goes, as it's crossed like this, you can bring power from your foot. And as the adjustment from the foot can make contact with the hand, he's trying to explain it and they're talking shit. And then he just goes, okay, bam, hits the thing. And they're like, what the fuck? They're like, yep. It's got to be a way you hit it. Now they're like, it's a game. It's a slot game. It's rigged. It's how you play.
Absolutely.
The
yeah, exactly. But it's like, that's what I think is funny that you're even saying that it was rigged, because it's like, now the evidence has been showcased to you, but you still don't even want to accept it.
And I sat down at the table and I started talking with the three guys. And it turns out that he was a Ishinru karate master for a long time, sensei for a long time. And I trained Ishinru, actually. My brother and I trained Ishinru a long time ago. It's a little known karate art form type thing, very self-defense type, but very centered, grounded, straight punches, not a lot of wild low kicks, very, you know, centered, you know. And man, we chatted for a while, you know, about that shit, and they started talking about you, and I actually put them on. I showed them the video, and the guys are like, oh, this is far out.
That's crazy. That's hilarious. Fucking Adam, dude, that's dope, man.
Yeah, I should have filmed it, damn it.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, man, is that people's perceptions you know, I always found that to be fascinating, bro. I'd see like professional fighters or professional or coaches who train professional fighters who were once really good professional fighters. And then when you see their training, you're like, dude, your training does not correlate at all to the mechanic. It never made sense to me, Adam. I never quite understood why even like high level boxing coaches would still have their guys doing sit-ups and shit. And I'm like, but you don't even move. Look at your beautiful symmetrical movement, the way that you connect everything. It's mind-boggling to me that you people still you still happen to go back to these same stupid training protocols, and you can't even replicate what you do in the sport. Why are you still doing that? I could never quite understand that. And it's just I don't truthfully, Adam, when I discovered what I have, it's so obvious.
Hey,
and it shocks me that other people haven't figured it out yet.
Do you know a guy named Justin Price?
Justin Price. I'm not sure.
He claims to be the biomechanic, exercise and functional fitness master.
I don't know.
Biomechanic guy. He wrote the book. I don't even want to put the book out there, but, I don't know. I looked it up because somebody sent me the top five injuries in fitness. And then I see the guy that started responding to all of this is the guy who's claiming functional. Well, it says functional movement is what, or functional training is what he calls it, and functional fitness. And so, and I don't know. So they talk about the foot and ankle is the number one thing when trying to explain a foot and ankle injuries. It starts at the top of the body. People spend their days in front of their computer, rounded shoulders.
Let me already stop that right there, Adam, because there's a little rebuttal that I have there, buddy.
Get
okay, so let's say your legs are in. What externally rotates your legs? What rotates your femurs out? Do your foot muscles do that, Adam, or what muscles likely do that?
My hips, maybe. I don't know. My knees. Yeah,
something,
shit, I don't know.
Something close to your hips, right?
Yeah.
Now let's say far enough, and we say that your lats actually rotate your hips out, or even your pecs rotate your hips out. If we actually look at myofascial force continuities. And let's say that your pecs and your lats happen to be really tight, and your glutes tend to be really, really tight, and your feet turn out, and you can't turn them in no matter what the fuck you do. Now you tell me, if your feet are pointed out like a duck and they're stuck that way, how are the tiny muscles of the foot going to override the glute max, the hamstrings, the obliques, the adductors? How are the tiny muscles of your foot going to counter that?
Can't.
They don't, Adam. That's why when people say you gotta adjust the foot, how do you come to this?
You gotta read this though. I gotta read this to you, man.
I already know what it's going to say, Adam. It's going to just talk about how the foot relates, how like there's got to be the right arch, there needs to be the right support, no. All this bullshit.
No.
Okay, let's hear this.
He says, when your shoulders are rounded, you stand up and your weight falls to the front of your foot, says Price. take the misplaced center of gravity and put it into your running shoe, which is naturally tipped forward with a higher heel and toe, and your feet and ankles start to bear the brunt of any impact.
Oh my God, get the fuck out. Okay, that's just ridiculous. I'm not even gonna address that. Adam, all I'm gonna say is this. If you have gigantic, ginormous muscles like your glute max overriding anything in your foot that are affecting your foot position, how do you do foot exercises to correct a glute max? You can't. It's not possible. If you don't know how to the right time that your pelvis and your rib cage are supposed to rotate when you run, it doesn't matter what you do with your foot. It's irrelevant. It doesn't make any sense. And furthermore, where are this guy's results?
Hold on. I always wonder. I love his answer. His answer, here's his prevention. Look for a running shoe that isn't too high in the heel.
Oh, no. If he's saying that, that makes more sense. No, if he's saying that, you know, if you got a high-heeled shoe, that makes sense.
No, he's just saying a running shoe that's not so high so it doesn't put pressure for you from sitting at your computer hunched over. So when you stand up, the weight doesn't go so far on your front so you don't hurt your foot or ankle.
Oh, bro, let me put it this way. At a general sense, I agree with the guy. But in terms of an applied perspective, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do shit. It doesn't, like, you wearing a lower heel is, I only wear shoes with lower heels. You don't want to wear shoes with an elevated heel. That's ridiculous. You know, if a human didn't do it in nature, then you sure as hell shouldn't do it in this society. You shouldn't do it ever. So what I'm saying is I agree with him. But what's that even translate to? What does it even correlate to?
I don't know.
Real changes being fucking made. And even beyond that,
Seems like the top five here is all coming the desk job, where you're sitting, how you're sitting. All of this has caused the top five gym fitness injuries.
This is good material to discuss. Okay. Where it says, do you want to discuss sitting, Adam?
Yeah. Well, he's saying the second most injured part of the body in the gym is the knee, and it's caused because most people that go to the gym sit at a desk job all day and they don't use their hip muscles during the day, and instead they go to kickboxing or boot camp. The result injury is knee.
So Adam,
again, improper footwear and stability.
Then tell me why I have no injuries at any point in my body. It's not like, well, my knees are healthy, but my hip is fucked. It's like with that whole thing with Joe Rogan, you know, his lower back is fine because he does that decompression from that one dude, but then he doesn't, but then his hip, he has a hypermobile hip that he's worried about. That's clearly that same machine, that decompression machine, is not helping him. So I'm saying this from a, you know, my knees don't hurt. My ankles don't hurt, Adam. My lower back doesn't hurt. My teeth, no joint in my body physically hurts. It's, unless something's in a state of transition and I need to move it, nothing ever hurts. My body never hurts. And I could say the exact same thing about everybody else that could, at least who trains here at my facility, who really does their work. You don't end up feeling that much pain with your damn body. And myself specifically, I sit all the time. I sit most of the day. Why am I not in pain?
You move properly. You move more functional. So you don't have repeated movement.
Exactly. I understand how to – the sitting doesn't override my brittle body. That's the whole thing. The sitting doesn't override what I always do. So look how I'm sitting right now. Look, bro. You see that?
Yeah.
Does that look like – right, that's what everybody. You need to sit with a straight spine. But look how I'm sitting right now. I'm like just chilling right here. Look at that. Do you guys see that? I'm just sitting right here, hunched over. Then I'll sit like that. I'll be like this the rest of the podcast. And when I stand up, guess what I'm going to look like? Likely like that, right?
I think I heard the Transformer music go off when you stood up. It was like
Transformers, robots in disguise. No.
So how do you? So to strengthen the knee here, what he's saying is, if you do use your hip muscles during the day, then decide to go to kickboxing, the result is a knee injury. If our feet aren't stable due to improper footwear and our hip muscles aren't strong, the knee gets all the stress. So the answer to that is not leg extensions or curls, but the answer to that is lunges, forwards, backwards, sideways, and step squats.
Yeah, well, so so what he's saying, why doesn't he mention functional patterns in the midst of all that?
I don't know.
He's still comparing it to garbage. So instead of knee extensions and knee flexions, What does he have on? Bernie, over here, bud. Over here. Come on. Bernie, come.
The lower back is number three. So it's foot and ankle is the number one injury in the gym. The knee is the number two. The lower back is number three.
Why are people getting injured in the gym? At some point, we got to ask, why are you getting injured in the gym, period? If you're preparing yourself for life, why would you get injured at the gym?
Hold on.
All places you're going to get injured. If you're going to get injured in real life. I can understand that you're running, you fall down. I can understand an injury like that. But why would you be getting an injury from preparing yourself for something?
I'm not even going to read you the prevention recommendation for lower back
bro,
injury.
It's, I'm telling no. you, it's.
Hold on, you ready? Stretch to strengthen your upper back muscles.
Yep. You're gonna strengthen a muscle by just taking the fascial structures and the muscular structures and separating them, and hopefully somehow that facilitates strength.
Yeah. Flatten your lower back into the wall by lifting your pelvis under you, straight your arms in front of you.
Hey, Adam. Yeah. Adam, you know what's crazy, bro?
What?
That if you sent this podcast over to that guy and he saw what I was talking about, he wouldn't disagree with me. He wouldn't disagree with me with saying that, you know what, that stretching doesn't create eccentric potential in muscles. He couldn't disagree with me. He knows. Everybody in the industry who knows anything, who's got a PhD, who's got a master's, they all know this. They just have no idea how to apply it. So they keep going back to their bullshit. So instead of bringing up functional patterns, what do they say? Well, we'll compare it to something that's completely useless. And then relative to something that's completely useless, what we'll do is we'll boost ourselves up. We'll boost our bullshit up. And
what's number four? If you got, we got ankle, knee, we shoulder. Got lower back, four.
Shoulder.
Damn right. Right on.
And then after that, it's probably going to be neck, I would imagine, or what?
Yes, sir.
Yep, exactly.
Right on fucking point.
Yeah, so it's just, bro, you see these same bullshit schemes.
Well, he's backing you up here. He's backing you up. He's saying the bench press is the cause of the neck injuries. Bench presses and pull-ups.
I understand, Adam. But where's the alternative? What is the alternative?
Yeah, you're right.
Where is the alternative? So you've given me a whole list of problems, right? You told me that a scapular wing exists, which physiotherapists have been saying this for how long? Forever. They've been talking about kyphosis and hyperlordosis and scoliosis. I understand that these things all exist, but when are you going to give me a solution for the problem? When are you going to give me a real tangible solution for this damn problem? You never see this anywhere, bro. It's a non-existing thing in our culture.
Even the preventions I'm reading for him are they're kind of vague, man. It's kind of like a doctor telling you to get rest and you know what I mean? Take an Advil. You know what I mean? It's pretty.
Adam, you know? So while I follow through on my claims, most of the time where I'm following through on it, I follow on and I can make even more bold claims. And within time, I'm not going to make them yet because I don't want to put it out there, but I'm going to make some really bold claims as to what functional patterns can do. And I'm only going to showcase that once we can get the continual results to showcase it. But it's going to be pretty fucking crazy once people understand what we're really doing deep down inside. But of the claims that I've made so far, we're able to at least follow through on those claims to some degree. We at least can showcase that we can give you progress in what it is. Every one of these people will talk about how you can do this. They hide behind all this bullshit jargon. And if you're a non-suspecting person in the general populations, how can you know better, Adam?
No, I'd be like, it fucking sounds good. Makes sense to me.
Right? It's like looking at a bunch of little baby impala in nature and you're a fucking lion. And you got some baby impala, and these just like, okay, and there's no parents, there's nothing, there's no distractions. That's all these people with their PhDs and their master's degrees and their marketing titles and all that. That's all these people do is they prey on innocent people that don't deserve this shit. People don't deserve any of this crap, bro. And it's fucking infuriating to watch because I spent so much of my career holding this reputation of being an asshole, of being a prick, when it's like, I never once ever told you that you're ugly. I never once told you any of this shit. And you look at these fucking people like this, it's like subconsciously, all you're saying is like, look, you're too stupid to know better. So all I'm going to do is just prince and then make a dollar while I do nothing. While I do nothing to solve your fucking condition. They know their shit doesn't work. Most of the time, bro, when people make an assumption on how you tell me, Adam, how many people who have done anything with regards to nutrition have ever really showcased that many results out of their craft?
Well, you rarely see psychologists or people with theorists or treatment centers. You know, you see the commercials and the people that they pay to do so. And a lot of that shit they keep private. But for some of it, you know, it's really not. You know, you don't. Well, they're the proof. Look at their abs. Count them. Look at my cover on Men's Fitness. Of course it fucking works.
Again, it's and if it does work, it works for a few weeks until the benefit wears off. Because I'm trying to do math here. What are other people doing? They're fucking scribbling their family on a little piece of paper and being like, "Look, there's my dog and there's the son."
Mike, Mike Van Thielen, who came on talking about stem cell, who's I'm way into it too. It's pretty neat. But shout out to Mike Thielen down there. But what he was explaining are the first people that kind of got into the stem cell game that were doing using your own stem cell replacements, and then where you have to do a surgery, then remove them and go. They chose a method of technology back then that cost them money. Well, because of that, they have to stick with their method, even though the method that they apply at his place is Neomatrix Medical, where they actually use placenta, works. But you hear all these researchers, they have to. They spend $100,000 on licensures and these machines that let them do it. So they just, regardless of the new research, no, this works just as fine. This works just as well. And he even pointed out, so in every field, once you're committed to, I'm a behavioralist, I am a cognitive therapist, once you've committed to, I'm a psychoanalyst, once you've committed to that, this becomes your genre. This becomes what you believe works, what you think you push. And plus, hey, I've had experience, I've watched friends' experience, and they've had great times with it, so you can't tell me it doesn't work, right? That's, we're all the way circled back to the beginning of those beliefs.
I watched this video a while back where this there was this one guy who did an interview with this really like this white supremacist dude. It was hilarious. I forgot what the guy's name is, but I saw an interview where he had another woman on there. She's a doctor, and yeah, she was talking about how she found a cure for cancer, and she was showing like actual evidence of tumors disappearing and like melanoma disappearing just by using these special kinds of lasers.
Mm.
So we started doing this, showing the results. I showcased it, and then we tried to push it through the government to see if they would buy into something, and they wouldn't do it. So what we did, because we knew that unless we coupled it with the pharmaceutical prescription, they weren't going to accept it. So what I did is I bought a prescription that would act as a delivery agent for this thing, and now we would be able to get the grant. So then she wound up getting the grant after she recommended the pharmaceutical, the prescription medication would come along for the ride. So unless the prescription was there with it and it was tied into the pharmaceutical industry, she couldn't gain any grants for what the fuck is going on.
You're not allowed, man.
It's just like, that's why it's so frustrating for people when they watch me, because I'm doing all my independent research and I'm not having to kind of like feed into establishment bullshit to facilitate what I do. But the point is, man, what I really wanted to, because I got to get going here shortly, it's unless a person has evidence to showcase that what they do works, don't believe it. As a consumer, if you're a consumer who watches this, who watches what I say and says, you know what, that guy now he seems like an asshole, let me do some research on him. If you gather anything from these podcasts, or even if you make it past through this video, hopefully you do, just assume that if somebody can't show you some kind of evidence to showcase that a person's structure of some type is changing, then the program doesn't work. Well, be it that it's yoga, be it that it's freaking some other form of manual therapy or some new type of exercise, if they can't showcase anything that puts forth their results or that they're able to follow through on their claims, then don't spend money on it, because all you're doing is wasting your money. You work hard for what the fuck you got. You shouldn't be wasting it on bullshit that doesn't work. That's the point.
Clear something up, though. Functional patterns. Clear something up for me, though, brother. When you're saying establish their claims, what I can hear the general population saying is they have 2,000 testimonials from people showing befores and afters, and so they've substantiated their claims.
No, they don't. Nobody who does structural integration has before and afters. No, tell them to showcase before and afters. They don't have them, bro. That's the point, Adam. I know it sounds fucking crazy, but they don't have them. I've been talking about this for 3 years on social media. I've argued with PhDs. I've argued with doctors. And I'm like, show me your before and afters. Let me see somebody's posture. Remember what I showed you with Bruno earlier on this podcast? Fixing posture. But then they only take a picture from the front side, but they don't take it from a lateral view, and they don't take it from a posterior view. They don't take that same posture. They can't make a video where you're walking around the person and say, this person's holding structural integrity. They can't say that. So the before and afters, even on just basic pictures, can't be shown, bro. They don't even show that. And if they do show it, it's in rare circumstances. What they'll do is they'll get a person with a scoliosis who had a back spasm where their spine bends even further. And then once that spasm goes away, they do a few releases. They take an x-ray of what it looks like first. Then they take an x-ray on the following. And then you may see a straighter spine with a bunch of compressions, by the way. It's like if you take a spine that's like curved like this, and then you make it straight, but there's still – if you see how my finger went down as I did that? If you take this finger and you make it straight, and then it kind of gets – and the finger gets crunched down like that, that's not fixing a scoliosis. You just made a spine more straight, but you didn't make the spine more adaptable. So it's like – tracking these things, bro, there's going to be a lot of fuckery going wrong. And what I find is most unfortunate about all this shit, Adam, is that I'm not really paying the price. I make good money. I'm making a great fucking living doing what I'm doing, bro. In the next couple of years, you may see me on Forbes magazine. You may end up seeing me there.
If you could debate anybody, who would it be? That if you could put right in front of you and literally talk, who would it be?
Nobody, because I don't want to debate. I just want to say, let me see your results, motherfucker. And you got them? No? Okay. I don't need to debate. There's
but
nothing
I know
to
you,
debate
I know
here.
You, I know you would. You know me. I'm trying to set it up. I'm going to get somebody on the podcast, Brett Contreras, and maybe you'd like to defend your art form in front of it.
The problem, but it's not an art form. It's a science, Adam. That's the difference. He has an art form.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I wasn't talking to functional.
But see, Adam, if I tried to break down the nature of supposed consciousness to a Christian, how far is that debate going to go?
All right. Yeah. Well, let me mediate the thing, and I'll keep it within the railings. Imagine me trying to keep it within the fucking lanes. I'll keep it within the, so we can't go religious. Well, we keep it within the structured beliefs. And plus you have a mental health guy sitting there who's able to point out when we're speaking from social constructs and enforcing false beliefs, not based in evidence.
Well, hold on. Let me do this first, Adam. Let me buy some electromyography units. Let me run some scans. We'll do it maybe in about a year from now. I'm going to showcase what the body looks, what muscle activation looks like on a functional body when it's running, and then what muscle activation looks like on a hip thruster. When I can showcase that evidence and I can present it to Brett Contreras, and I'll say, hey, look, this is what you're doing. This is what the body does when it's in movement. Similarity here. Explain
now, he's got dough. He could prove that, couldn't he? Right now, he could, if he wanted to, he could.
Absolutely. He has all the tools.
All right.
But he knows it's not going to. Bro,
I want to see that. I want to see it.
Bro, I have screenshots of me asking him about all this shit. I have screenshots on his Instagram where we already had our debate, and he wanted none there. He said he wants to do a formal debate where it's on more neutral territory, more neutral ground. What could be more neutral ground? It's in your favor.
In the cognitive rampage.
No, but it's not even. That's more in our favor. That's just more in our favor. That's not neutral territory.
Yeah, you're right.
He already sees that you understand where I'm coming from.
There's some CrossFitters that follow this shit, man. We got some pretty hardcore military type CrossFit people that follow this shit.
Yeah, but he wouldn't want to come here anyway. And honestly, Adam, until I can showcase, because I've only conducted this research that I've done on what I do, I would have to physically get people. This is what I'm going to have to do, Adam. I would have to get people, bring them into my gym, and then have them do a bunch of hip thrusters and ruin their body. I would have to have the people that come in here and train watch somebody else get destroyed.
There's some CrossFit volunteers. I'd be more than happy to do that for you.
You think so?
Yeah. You know they would. They'd jump right in there.
If you can find them, if you guys are watching this, please contact me. I'd be more than happy. I would be more than happy for you guys to continue to partake in what the hell you're doing, and then we can showcase the difference between the nonsense that you're doing and what the fuck we're doing.
I'm going to get smarter all the way around by being a part of it. So I just want to be the fly on the wall in that conversation. Then when history looks back, I get to be the guy that was in there. The guy, and this fucker's refereeing between these two motherfuckers, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see if he'd even want to. But my perspective is, Adam, my evidence is pretty staggering, but I want to make it undeniable. And I'm getting close. I'm going to get real, real close. Remember when I told you that around April or May last year, I told you that April, May this year, it's going to pretty much come close to becoming codified. Prediction is pretty much going to come through.
Bam, you said that shit. You picked
the month. We are pretty much about to codify this shit. And you're going to see some ridiculous fucking results because I figured out most of the sequences that need to happen with the body in order to really facilitate a huge change. And it's not even fucking close. Brett Contreras is no longer talking about functionality, bro. You have to understand, Adam, these fuckers have backtracked. They don't want to address what I'm talking about in terms of functional perspectives. What they're saying is, okay, Naudi, not everybody wants to train in relation to their biology. Some people just want to look good.
Sure.
Adam.
Okay. Yeah, you
can't
win.
That's why I can't hold an art. So we're not talking about functionality. You're assuming these people are playing a fair game. I will send you the screenshots of the text messages of what this fucking idiot wound up saying. He's not talking about functionality.
If that's the response, bro, you can't talk to that. I just want to look good.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Yeah. But look at the post that he made on me. Look at what he wrote on there. He talked about that. How can you say that this applies to everybody if your goals are not all the same? I'm not talking about goals. I'm talking about biology, the biology of a fucking of a particular vertebrate. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're not talking subjectivity. An engine runs better on gasoline than it does on water and sugar.
He doesn't want to debate that, Adam. So how can I debate with this fucking guy?
Remember when I first came on with you? Yeah, it is. When I first didn't really know you, it was episode 69, and we jumped in, and I go, "Well, right, it's what fits everybody, right? It's not everything for everybody, right? Some work for something," and then you shut me the fuck down. Yeah, I dropped that shit, and you were like, "No, no," and I was like, "Well." But I
can't
come from
you still
that
remember
world.
That. That's legit. Yeah. Well, you are a one attentive motherfucker. You are one attentive fucker.
There's a reason I use the elephant, brother. There's multiple reasons I use the elephant. I don't forget shit.
He doesn't forget, right? Exactly.
I don't forget faces and I don't forget shit. Totally. Especially when I'm humbled. When people, like I've mentioned Jack Cruz already on the podcast. Hell, Orlando came on my podcast, the last one. And presented some very simplistic approaches, which I loved. And I even said it on the own podcast. I was like, well, no need for my fucking book or anything. We're done. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but he, and I took it gracefully. And a lot of what he says makes beautiful sense. You know, I wish that we could come to that, you know, in a field to where we're all kind of going, I can see that, man, damn, that does apply to make sense, to where people could come off of their shit.
Yeah, Adam, but that kind of perspective doesn't exist a lot in our culture. Let me put it this way, Adam. If I like, let's say went to Brett, and I always use this as an example. If I went to Brett Contreras and I said, Adam or Brett, look, let's reason here. Okay. Look, you're not going to lose your credibility. In fact, what you're going to get is 100,000 women that you get to sleep with. They're gorgeous. The most gorgeous women that you get to sleep with. And I'm going to give you $50 billion to admit that you're wrong. What do you think would happen, Adam?
I'm wrong, dog. I'm wrong.
I'm wrong. Now bring all that pussy over here.
You can keep the women. Just give me the money. Just give me the money. They're gonna want my money. So just forget the women. Just give me the money, man.
But either way, he's gonna admit that he's wrong. The problem is, if I tell him that he's wrong and he admits that he's wrong, he loses everything, bro. He loses everything in his career. Yeah. All the work that he's done. The problem is that our culture is built on being right. And if you're wrong in our culture, you go broke. That's it. Mm. You end up broke if you end up being wrong in our culture. Yeah. Your success in this world resides on being right. So it's hard to get non-egotistical behavior in a society that forces you to always be right all the time. Because people don't pay for hindsight, they pay for foresight. Ooh. And that's the nature of this world. And that's why I don't...
Where'd you get that?
I probably made it up. I don't know. It's just something I thought of. But I always talk about that. It's like, yeah, people pay me because I have foresight. I predict the future. Why do consultants exist for companies? Why do people pay innumerable amounts of money for consultants? Because they predict trends. Why did Google hire Ray Kurzweil onto their company? Because this guy is freaking predicting the future.
I'm going to go and predict it on my side. I'm going to make me a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction right now. By 2025, microdosing of psychedelics will replace antidepressants.
Should. If you're trying to get a hack, then that's something that would actually work, because it does make you, I think if you do it with a professional instead of an idiot hippie who doesn't understand anything about neuroscience or understands anything about human behavior, you're going to get great benefits. Because myself, from the time that I use psychedelics, I got a substantial amount of benefits.
Well, they're talking about microdosing. They're talking about 200 milligram type microdosing, to where I take a 200 milligrams is nothing. It's nothing. Like, you feel no effects but the slight basics.
Wow.
So they're microdosing, and because they're non-addictive, like if you and I ate, let's say, a full dose of 5 grams of psilocybin, we're going to go on a fun 8-9 hour adventure, depending, right? And then if we eat 8 the next day, we're going to only do about half that. And then if we eat 20 grams the next day, we're going to get nothing, no matter what. So what they do with the microdosing, they've done some MAPS and some other people have done some research, and with some people, they remove antidepressants, titrate them off properly, let their biology reset, and then start again, to where they say, okay, here's a 200 milligram dose on a Monday. Here's a 400 milligram dose on Tuesday. You take nothing on Wednesday, allow it to bypass, and take again on Thursday. And no side effects, no kidney issues. And you're not going to consider hanging yourself in the bathroom if the antidepressant doesn't work properly on you. You know what I mean? So the side effects are pretty much null and void.
That's
that way.
Bro.
And what I thought was funny, the number one thing that people wrote down as their response of what they found they could do is I found I could deal with people better. I could deal with people's shit. You know, that was the response, is that they could then absorb it. They could be fine with it instead of this antidepressant. I got to respond and react to it like this world teaches us to do in the mental health world.
Yep. You know what I find fascinating about that is that I've kind of like, I've managed to kind of get over a lot of my own bullshit recently, just based upon, I think a lot of it relates to the mechanical findings that I found for myself. I feel like my body's moving in ways that it's never worked before. So my breathing has opened up in ways that it never did before. And I've been going to this spa that I go to on a regular basis. And a lot of times I go in there and people begin to talk and they have their conversations. And I don't mind when people have dialogue. I don't mind it. But when they start talking about, well, you know, my kids and, you know, I've been married for 22 years and blah, 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 blah. And they just keep talking. And you're just like, talk for the sake of just making noise. Don't you just want to have some silence? So I go in there. I'm like the only guy that goes in there with earplugs. I'm the only dude that goes in there with fucking earplugs. I'm just like looking at this going like, motherfucker, like, what the fuck is going on? And normally I'd be fucking pissed going in there. But as of late,
yeah,
I've been figuring a lot of this shit out, like with my mechanics and whatnot. I go in there and I'm not annoyed. Like, I'll go in there with a few other people. They're like, God, did you see that annoying fucker? I was like, no, I didn't actually. I didn't even notice the motherfucker. He wasn't even that annoying to me. Like, I'm not even particularly annoyed by this person anymore.
Well, I'll come around. I'm usually the guy that they're talking about. Did you see that annoying motherfucker running his mouth to everyone in the elevator? No one wanted to talk to me.
If you were that guy, I'd be like, dude, you hear that motherfucker? That guy made some good points. He was talking some good shit. I like that.
Dude, I'm.
You wouldn't
I'm
be annoying
guy.
Me, Adam.
I talk way too much,
bro. Adam, I'm always that guy too, and I intentionally say things just to kind of like slide it in on fucking people. Be like, oh yeah, you know. And I'll be like, you know what's crazy? I was talking to my girlfriend. She was inside there with me the other day. And I was like, okay, so, you know, what I find interesting is that nobody watches the same movie every single day of their life. Nobody watches the same movie. But yet when they have their dialogue with other people, they treat it as though they want to listen to the same story day. Why is that? Why is that? What the fuck about, what is that? Like, why is it that you don't watch the same movie, but yet you still want to talk about the same shit every fucking day?
Our own story. We paint our same narrative. We tell our same movie trailer each
and
time.
You're hoping somebody buys it. Whew. You're hoping somebody buys that story, but nobody's gonna buy it because it's the exact same. Shannon Hegarty, the guy that you had on here, he put up the best thing. He's like, you know, everybody wants to be individuals in our society, not realizing that they're all behaving exactly the same.
Yeah, that's madness.
They all act the same way, but they still want to be treated as individuals. Like, how
that's
the fuck
madness.
Is that?
That's fucking madness, bro.
It's crazy, bro. That's funny that I never even thought of. I was like, they do all act exactly the same, and yet they expect to want to be treated as some kind of an individual. It's fucking, yeah. It is fucking madness. Anyway, Adam, I got to get going, bro. My brain is fucking, brother. it's fogging up over here, and I need to do some breathing and shit.
Yeah, well, I will tell everybody, I do run my fucking mouth, and I talk too much, and do this from now on, anybody. Every time the elevator door is shut and there's people in there and that creepy silence steps in and no one looks at each other, I want you to look at everybody and say, this is the time where X amount of humans stand next to each other and say nothing. But I'm going to break that silence. So hello, everybody. How you doing? My name's Adam.
I like that shit.
Every time I hit the elevator, bro, and people walk
off.
I'll tell you
one thing, Adam. When you go to this fucking spa here, you won't see that happening right there at that fucking sauna. Like, fucking all the people doing there is just yak about the same old
dude,
bullshit.
Dude, if I'm pissing at the
I
urinal.
Some of those motherfuckers watch this right now. When they see me next time, they just shut the fuck up.
Dude, if I'm pissing at the urinal or I'm sitting in a hot room with nothing but a towel on, don't say shit to me, homie. Don't talk to me. It's already creepy. You know what I mean? I'm sitting right here. I'm naked under this thing. It's sweaty and shit. You're over there. Don't say hello. If I'm taking
a piss,
if I'm holding my dick, don't walk
shorts.
Up and say...
It's a dope-ass spot. It's a sick-ass spot. It's just people talk too much inside there, and I think people just are awkward. They have jobs that they fucking hate, and they feel like they need to fucking talk to let some of the steam off, but they're at the end of the day, they're just fucking, you know, they're not letting any steam off. They're just, you know, they're just living in a pile of shit, and I'm not even coherent anymore. Adam, I got to get the fuck out of here.
It's cool. I'm just warning people. There's two places I won't talk. That's the motherfucking pisser. Don't talk to me.
So if you guys see Adam anywhere, don't fuck with them when in those areas. Don't fuck with me either. I guess if you go to Europe, yeah, but you see, that's the interesting part. In Europe, they don't do that, Adam. They like if they have a solarium, it's like you're forced to not talk. You have to stay quiet.
Hmm. Interesting.
But anyway, brother, it was a pleasure, and we'll talk soon. We'll do this again.
All right, brother, man.
As per usual.
All right, dude. Love you, man.
Likewise, bro. Take care, man.
Later.